Next week should be fine. Guess it's hard to see if I, how much I can actual planning preparation I can do.
Yeah, because you're going to be pretty busy.
That's true. All right, so, and then there's today, right? There's yeah. We should hold out till after the Chagig.
Okay.
Give us some chance to do that. Okay. Let's do that.
I mean, the only thing I was going to say is maybe if you wanted to do something for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, just like to bring us into the spirit of the new year.
There you go. I don't know. That's a pretty high standard. I just normally blather on about whatever I feel like.
It's
You know,
always very good. There's no problem.
making it relevant is a lot harder. So we know. Let's assume next week, and then we'll probably be off after that.
Okay.
If I'm really talented, it'll somehow related to Rosh Hashanah.
Right. And also, Danny, if you feel overwhelmed or whatever, and you have to, cancel, then also, I don't want to like drive you crazy because you do so much already
Thank
anyway.
you. Crazy
Don't you
as it
agree with me?
is.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's do this here. We are continuing in Perek in Mishlei Perek Yud Tet. Again, we're in the fourth paragraph, book two of Sefer Mishlei. And we're going to start talking about being lazy. Speaking of working hard. Atzala tapil tardema. That being lazy pass one into a tardeiman, a deep sleep. Nefesh rumiyah tirav, and he translates nefesh rumiyah as an idle soul, being like the lazy one. Rumiyah is usually the deceitful one. Will tirav will go hungry. Shomer mitzvah, shomer nafsho, but keeping the mitzvah, guards his own, keeps his own life. Bozed rachav yamud, but someone who is has contempt, who treats their way cheaply, will die. That having chan for the poor, being gracious to the poor is like is malava Hashem. It's like loaning to God. Meaning, malo yishalim lo, Hashem will certainly pay it back. Your gemilah chesed will be paid back. And look at those three pesukim there, talking about being lazy, keep the mitzvot, and be good to poor people because you'll get rewarded. This idea of the being lazy, the atzla tapil tardema, laziness leads to sleep. And Yonah takes us literally talking about working. I want to accomplish something. And he says, atzla, but besides the damage that happens when one is lazy, by procrastination, I'm not going to start. Even when you start, if you're lazy, it's damaging. He has a reason because someone who's eager to work, someone who's actually eager and not lazy will accomplish in 1 hour that more than the lazy person will do in 2 hours. Depends on what kind of lazy person you are. For some of us, if you're really lazy, you get all the work done early, finish it fast, and then you can go lounge around. That's not a bad way to be lazy. But you're just going to hang, delay, and then not doing work. That's the sleeping. Odin Nezek Acher, Rabbi Yonah says, another bad thing about being lazy, Tavias, like being lazy brings, Tapil Tadema. You're going to fall asleep in the middle of the work. You're bored. You're not going to do it. Yachafitz b'malacha, Yorer lev adam, Kachafitz b'malacha, because actually wanting the work, being eager to get this done, awakens one, Batzelesh, Ein lo chafetz ba, but if you're too lazy, you don't want to do the work, the job that you're trying to do, you're just going to get tireder and tireder, can't keep your eyes open. We've all been there. And therefore, such a person will not be successful at work and they will remain poor. They won't be saved from their poverty. And then the nefesh ramiya, which he's translated again as a deceitful person, kirav will hungry, says, gam bezrizim, hashir, yesh midah turashesh, ba'aliyah. That even if you're really eager to get the work done, but there's something that there's an aspect there, there's a midah, there's a character trait that also leads to poverty. Ba'aliyah, real poverty. Ganivhala lahon, because all you're focused on is money, lasot osher, and get to get rich. Bahamas, and you're going to do it with extortion, retamit, and deception, bona'ah, and cheating, yoverasho. Then you're going to lose your wealth. Don't be that eager to work that your eagerness should not lead you to sin. Vinyan you know, it's going to end up bad. You'll end up being hungry. The nefesh ramiya tirav. Niyat salav tarmit midot hen. So both the being lazy and then being too eager to the point of being deceptive will end up causing poverty. But the way we've, so that's taking Ramiya's deception. We've translated that Ramiya, Mirma in the past, not so much deception, but a little closer to the way the Alla Torah does, so being idle. But as Ramiya is being, ha having a reckless disregard for the truth. I just don't care. So it becomes, it's parallel to the laziness. You're like, be lazy in your work, and you can be lazy in your speech, in your actions, in your words. Either way, it leads to poverty.
I thought it had something related to cheating.
You're right. So that's again, that is the deception part. That's the way the Rabbeinu Yehuda text takes it. But in the context of Mishlei, it seems to be much more, it's always contrasted to being charitz, being diligent, the opposite of charitzut, Ramiya. But the word itself clearly means to be cheap, be Ramai. Okay, but the Gras says, you know, it's not really talking about business, it's talking about working, it's talking about avodat Hashem. Don't be lazy, get the work done. So we're going to connect it to mitzvah in a second. And that's the Gras. Okay, but Torah mitzvot. Learning Torah, doing mitzvot. Ayadei tardeima by day asleep. If you're going to sleep, takes the cause and effect backwards. Sleep leads to laziness. You got to get up in the morning. Don't keep hitting snooze. Have a azkenamer, as the Mishnah says. Strong as a leopard, jump up out of bed, get to work. Mitzvot. Because if you're lazy, you're going to sit, you're not going to do mitzvot, but tell them that's like a Torah, you're not going to deal, you're not going to try to learn Torah. Nefesh Ramiya, as we said, is someone who doesn't take his words seriously, is lazy with his speech, lazy with thinking. Is Mishlomen Harbe, someone who may be learning a lot, you know, Chozer to me, but isn't chazmering, isn't reviewing all. Doesn't take what they're reading seriously, what they're learning seriously. Rotzela, so far bay, and you're trying to just get lots and lots of learning. If you've read all these books, but you're obviously end up being hungry metaphorically, so you shall be adult klum, you're not gonna be left with anything. You have to put the work in, well learn. And then the focus of this section ends up being the shomer mitzvah, shomer nafsho. Keeping the mitzvah, and it's singular, right? That's a collective mitzvah, commandment, commandedness. Guards their own life. Right? Don't be lazy or lackadaisical because your life depends on it. We talked about this before that Mishlei in Book One, the first part through Perek Tet, is more about wisdom, about ethics in a much more intellectual sense. This book is much more religious. Here we're talking about a mitzvah. This section talks more about the tzaddik as opposed to the chacham. And someone's here is telling us we have to do the right thing. Not because it's right, because it's commanded. That's the key. You have to be commanded to be ethical. It's a different approach to ethics. And remember this bumper sticker? 55 from the 1970s?
I remember that the Mothers
Yep.
Against Drunk Driving really pushed for lower
But
speed.
that was, no, this was more for saving gas during the energy crisis.
Oh, really? Okay,
In
yeah.
the mid-70s, right? The 55. But it's not just a good idea, it's the law. So mitzvah, it's the law. That's the difference. The difference between a good idea and being the law is the nature of the motivation. Why are we keeping it? Okay? Because any kind of rule needs some kind of a motivation for the rule to apply. And this was an article from a professor at, I think in University of Nebraska, on Kant. We're going to talk about Immanuel Kant and philosophy here. Think about ethics and obligations. Give an example. Some 10 years ago, Nebraska state legislature passed a law requiring the wearing of motorcycle helmet while riding a motorcycle on the state's roads. The governor signed it into law. Only sometime after this process had been completed was a defect of the law discovered. The law as passed omitted to include any provisions for the penalties for violating the law. In the interval before the law was corrected by a new legislative session, did my state have a motorcycle helmet law? It was contrary to the law not to wear such a helmet, but no individual could be penalized for violating the law. There's no reason whatsoever to obey the law. I would say that during the interval, Nebraska had no law against not wearing a helmet. Use some motivation. So that's Kant's distinction, that the motivation for following laws is the punishment imposed by the state, or the reward for doing it, for following it. That's outside. Motivation for being ethical is there, but it's one's internal moral compass. You do it because you know it's right. It's got to come from inside. That's ethics. It's considered a continuous part of the article. The thing is clear that Kant regarded an incentive as essentially and analytically connected to the fact of obligation. If one has to have an obligation means that if some re there's some reason for doing it, even if it's just your own more sense of duty, that's internal. For Kant, the law provides an external incentive, a specified punishment, as a motivational source. In the case of ethics, the incentive must be internal, not external to the agent, as in the case of law. If it's commanded, it's not ethics. Why are we emphasizing Shomer Mitzvah? Okay, the rules are mitzvot. We're not relying on our own internal moral sense.
Well, we don't know what specific punishments or rewards there are.
No, but we assume that there are.
But we don't, it never specifies, does it?
Well, for a lot of things, it does, right? Look, think of the second paragraph of Shema, which we're going to look at, right? If you, I am Shema Tishma Kol Mitzvot Hashem, then the rains are going to fall, and if not, the rains won't fall. Your animals will starve. You'll be exiled. Tochka from last week's parsha. That's all specified. And they're called mitzvot, right? The mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. It means a commandment. And the interesting is that. And this way the Rambam starts out the introduction to Mishneh Torah, talking about the nature of what we're calling a mitzvah. All the mitzvot that are given to Moshe, the parashah and Ninyan, were given with their explanation, as it says, Evan, Hashem tells Moshe, I am giving you these tablets of stone, v'ha Torah v'ha mitzvah. Torah is a Torah k'tav. Torah is the literal written Torah. But mitzvah is the perusha, that's the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the mitzvah. Torah b'mitzvah. Sivana la'asot Torah al-pi mitzvah, that we're commanded to keep the Torah according to this, what we're calling mitzvah. Mitzvah zu, when you correct Torah Shebaal Peh, and this mitzvah in the pasuk is what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. The way the Gemara puts it, that the Rambam's quoting is Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. What does it mean when Hashem tells Moshe, I'm going to give you the Luchot Eben, the tablets of stone, and the Torah and the mitzvah? Those are three things. Luchot were the actual original 10 commandments said in Har Sinai. Torah zu mikra, Torah is the words, as Rambam said. Mitzvah zu mishnah, which he's calling Torah Shebaal Peh, the explanation. And so what that means, that the Torah Shebaal Peh is the mitzvah, right? That Shlomo was saying here, Shomer mitzvah, Shomer af sho. This comes from the Machshava, the thought of Rav Moshe Shapiro. You heard of Moshe Shapiro?
Yeah, but I don't know what he wrote.
He didn't write anything.
Oh.
He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Israel that kind of everyone who talks about Machshava, Jewish thought, he was the Rabbi Tetz, listen to Rabbi Devin Kagan. Shevkin is all these putting together. These are all the thoughts of Rav Moshe Shapiro. This comes from the Maharal, kind of puts together in more modern terms. This is The way summarize a Gaon HaGadol, Rav Moshe Shapira, blessed memory, dedicated his life to conveying core principles of Torah faith in all its multifaceted dimensions. The depth and breadth of his creative approach, his profound understanding of Torah wisdom with its immediate relevance, his ability to clarify even the most esoteric concepts are legendary. But he never wrote. He said it required him to focus on past insights, and he always sought new ones. So he never wrote anything down. So anything we have, everyone quotes him, everyone listens to him. And there are a bunch of there were tapes. He passed away, I think, in 2006. They're contemporary. It always comes from his students are starting to write his things down. So this is a book I have called "Choice to Believe." That's from his son-in-law wrote that. Put it together. There we are.
The choice to believe.
Now, I bought this when it came out, and then one of my kids stole it. So I didn't own it anymore. So I had to buy it again. And by then, it was actually sold out because everybody wants it. So I actually tracked down a copy. So there
So you still can't get it, Danny?
No, I did get it.
How'd you get
I
that?
was emailing back and forth with Mosaica trying to find it. And we found a copy of it. Actually,
Great.
we talked to the author about trying to find it. I got it from my efforts. Okay. So this is Moshe Shapiro talking about what it means to be a mitzvah. Why do we talk, how emphasize this idea of it being a mitzvah? What does it mean to have a mitzvah? And part of that is alluded to in the second part when it says, Melaveh Hashem chonen dal, that being, having chen, having chonen dal, having mercy for the poor is like learning to God. Melo yishalem lo, you'll be paid back. Hashem will reward you. That's important. That concept as in Pirkei Avot, as we always say, Yehi Omer, lo lecha machalik mor, lo ta ben chorin li batel mimena. Your job is not to finish, do all the work. There's plenty more to be done, then you, but you're not free to stop. The Torah bay. Learn much Torah, you'll be rewarded. And the boss can be trusted to pay you back for everything you've done. And eventually pay back in the future, right? But you'll be paid back. That idea of being paid back, that you're rewarded for doing mitzvot, for learning Torah is problematic. Plus, we previously said in Pirkei Avot again, don't be a conservative that you're trying to get a reward. You should serve Hashem because you're not getting a reward. So why do we keep coming back to it? Now, my film points out that that's explicit in the Torah, right? This is Vayayim Shamot. It's the second paragraph of Shema. We say it twice a day. Vayayim Shamot, Tishmu HaMitzvotai, Asher Anochi Mitzvotechem. If you listen to my mitzvot, again, this is the idea of a mitzvah of commandness that I command you. Love God, Hashem, serve him with all your heart. Then you will get rain, in its proper time, all the seasonal rains, you'll have rain, you'll have wine and oil, you'll have grass for your animals, you will eat and you'll be satisfied. That's Vayayim Shema. And we say this is the second paragraph of Shema. The first paragraph of Shema doesn't have those kind of rewards in it. And we call the first paragraph of Shema, this is the Mishnah says that Amar Shura Karcha, Lama Kima Shema La Vayayim Shema. Say Shema, and then we say Vayayim Shema. You can think about what it says. El Kadeshi Kaba Alav Ol Malchut Shemayim Techila. Shema is about Kabbalah Ol Malchut Shemayim. God is king. B'charkach yikabel alav ol mitzvot. Second paragraph is the yoke of the mitzvah, accepting the responsibility to do mitzvot. So that question then is, one might ask why we need to embrace his kingship and his mitzvot separately. If we embrace God's kingship, it doesn't include the mitzvot. If we say God is king and rules everything, obviously we have to obey the commands. And vice versa, if we embrace his commands, doesn't that mean we embrace his kingship? Yet we see from Yerushua Bar-Karcha that it's possible to embrace the kingship without embracing his commands, and possible to embrace commands without embracing the kingship. Those are two different things. We accept both the Ol Malchut Shemayim and the Ol HaMitzvot. Another issue that must be understood is the marked difference between how we accept God's kingship, the first paragraph of Shema, and how we accept the commandments. The acceptance of the kingship is done through command, right? Shema Yisrael, you will listen. The Ahavta, and you will love God. It is worded, the Ol Malchut Shemayim is worded as a command. But the Parsha of Vayam Shemoah, which we're saying is about commandments, is not. There's no commandment there. It's if you listen, then the good thing will happen. If you don't listen, bad things will happen. There's no direct, you will do this. The matter is presented in a conditional way. If you heed his mitzvot, heavens will provide the right time. You got your grain, your wine, your oil. So is this the way that Hashem wants us to accept his mitzvot, enticing us by showing us that fulfilling the mitzvot is worthwhile and threatening us if we don't fulfill them? Doesn't this approach contradict the mission of Perkei Avot? We should serve Hashem as servants who expect, not as servants as expect, who expect to receive his reward, but as servants who do not expect to receive a reward. We would expect that the acceptance of Hashem's mitzvot, the idea of accepting being commanded, should be similar to the acceptance of his kingship through command. You will listen to the mitzvot. Just as the acceptance of his kingship is actualized through a command to love Hashem with all our heart and soul, so too is the commitment to fulfill commandments he made without any conditions of war or punishment. Say, you will do this. And he says, you know, that this is exactly, this is Kant's distinction between law and ethics. Ol Malchut Shemayim, accepting a king, that's law. And yes, when the king says it, we accept absolute rulership, that Hashem is a dictator, whatever he says goes. Accepting Ol Malchut Ol HaMitzvot, rather, is the ethic. That's an internal motivation. Accepting the idea of being commanded. What's the commandment here? That the commandment is not so much that, okay, there is a ruler saying, but that inherent in the universe. Commandment is these rules. Commandment is inherent in the nature of reality. These are important because they are just as inherent in reality as the laws of physics. That's a mitzvot. So he continues. When we perform the mitzvot, because of his kingship, we are essentially not doing so out of choice and appreciation of the action, but rather because we, like any subject, must do the king's bidding. When we comply to our acceptance of the yoke of mitzvot, the Ol HaMitzvot, we're doing so because we realize that our very existence depends on fulfilling his commands. And so we appreciate that we must breathe and we must eat and drink for our physical survival, so too we must fulfill the 613 mitzvot to guarantee our spiritual survival. And we accept that our welfare and physical conditions depend on our spiritual state as well. So that the wording of the second paragraph of Shema, that if you keep the mitzvot, then you will eat a chalta v'savata, is not a threat, it's not a promise, it's saying that's the way the world works. And you should have that kind of attitude of looking at the world not as I am commanded, but I know that this is what inherently needs to be done. This is the only way the world's going to work. And so that's why it's Shomer Mitzvah, Shomer Nafsho. Keeping Mitzvot is like keeping your own self, owning yourself alive, because Gemul Yeshalem Lo. Hashem will pay it back. That this Gemul, it is the inevitable consequence of your actions. That the Mitzvot are like the laws of physics. Violating leads to destruction. That commandedness is part of creation. It says, Q-tivav-v-nivra. Hashem commanded and created. Tehillim. And we see that in this week's parsha. So I got lazy this week. So right now, Ruthie, this is the parsha shiur. Okay, we're just going to do this straight out of the parsha. This is exactly what it's saying, because the parsha starts when Moshe says, verse 17, I am calling to as witnesses, I'm calling to testify the heavens and the earth. I'm giving you a multiple choice test. I'm giving you life and death, a bracha, b'kala, blessing and curse. Choose life, so you should live. And the way Rashi puts it is that, you know, I am bringing the heavens and why the heavens and the earth to testify. Israel, look at the heavens. I created that to serve you. midatam. Do they change their ways? They obey laws. Does the sun ever not rise in the east and enlighten the world? As it says, and it's interesting that he's bringing as a proof that the sun comes up is a proof in a pasuk. Different attitude than, well, we'll do the experiment. It says that the sun rises, sun sets. Similarly, it's like, look at this. Look at the earth that I created. Does it change its ways and not obey the laws of physics? Do you plant without it growing? Plant wheat, barley comes up. No. Extrapolation works. The laws are followed. And these heaven, Shemayim ba'aretz, don't get reward, don't get punished. They obey, they wouldn't get reward. If they didn't obey, they wouldn't get any kind of punishment. They still don't do any, they still don't change. But you will actually be rewarded if you obey. They'd be punished if you don't. How much more so? That's Rashi. Heavens and the earth do God's will without any kind of reward and punishment. You getting reward and punishment, you should certainly listen. And as the Sfat Emet points out, that's completely backwards. That's not a good Kal Vachomer. Right? He said, Sfat Emet says, Chora mai raya mehem. And it seems like what's kind of proof? She'in lehem, right? The sun, we don't have the sun and the heavens and the earth don't have any free will. They can't not obey the laws of physics. See, the Sfat Emet is saying what you're supposed to think about when you look at the heavens and the earth, obeying God's will, obeying the laws of physics, is this idea of feeling commanded. Nonetheless, muvan ki miderach hateva liot nimshach. That natural state of everything is to obey God's commands. Again, for nature, it's the laws of nature. We assume that those exist and they're all following it. It's be consistent. That's inherent. And came by day lo nigra adam yizeh. People are the same way. We have the choice to overcome what he's saying should our natural state, which obeying God's will, we have the choice to kind of go in some other direction. Because there are some laws that are optional, in the sense we have a choice to violate them. You don't have a choice to violate gravity. Jump off a cliff, you can't say, I don't hold by gravity, I'm just going to fly. You can light a fire on Shabbos, say, no, I'm not going to. But im lo yigbar hara la tov, and so that what we should think about is that if we don't allow that the Yetzirah to overcome our Yetzirah Tov, the kind of the obeying God part, then we will be like the heaven and the earth and still be obeying God's will, to call it the like all creation. And we looked at this idea, the Tilim Shir, we looked at Tilim Perak Yud Tet. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament speaks of his works. Day to day speaks praise. One night to the next expresses knowledge. But there are no words. It's all silent. Right? No voice is heard. There the lines of their actions go out throughout the earth. And they fill the entire world, the entire inhabited earth. Lashemesh, some oil bahem, the sun has its place there in the world, and then it looks at the sun. The sun obeys God's will. It's like a groom leaving the chuppah. Rejoice, happy as an athlete running on a track. It comes from one end of the earth, and all its power ends up at the other. The ein yistar mechamato. Nothing is hidden from chamato. It's usually translated as its heat. Nothing's hidden from the sun's heat. It has nothing to do with this message over here. Right? It's obeying God's command. The sun rejoices in obeying God's command. I would translate it chamato, not as its sun's heat, but it being the chema. It's the sunniness. The nature of being the sun is good at being the sun because that's all it does. It doesn't have any option. It never makes a mistake. That's what it means to be an inanimate object without free will. You obey God's will, but it's a gibor, it's orach, it's an athlete running along the track. No moving side to side. It's not, there are no choices, no mistakes. The sun doesn't have free will, and that's the ein nistar. There's nothing hidden from it. It always gets it right. Okay, the halacha for the sun here is Newton's law, F is G M1 M2 over R squared. It never violates, though. That's fine. And then the parak goes on to talk about how wonderful the Torah is. Torah Hashem Tmimah Meshivah Nefesh. Torah is perfect. Settles the soul. Do the Hashem Nemanah. God's testimony is trustworthy. Machakima Peti enlightens the fools. Nechmadim Mizav, more desirable than gold. Tukim Midvash, sweeter than honey. It's wonderful. And then David says, I still can't get it right. Okay, I am not as I know that the Torah is wonderful. I want to keep it, but I'm not as good at the sun. The sun keeps God's will. It's always going in the same orbit. Great, I can't do that. Gam abdecha Abraham, your servant. That's me. He's careful about these. Rav, and I know there's this reward for this, right? The Muloyeshalem Rav, but shigiyot mi'avin. Who knows? Who understands mistakes? Nakeni. Please, God, save me from the nistar. The sun has a nistar mechamato. There's nothing nistar. For me, there are things that are nistar. They're hidden. The underlying truth is hidden from me. I can't get everything right. So, Gami Zigdim, Chasov Abdecha, please, God, help protect me from intentionally sins, intentionally sinning. Al Yim Shalu Bi Azeitam. Don't let my bad side, my Yetzer Hara, rule over me, however strong it may be. And I'll be saved. I'll be cleansed from my many sins. Human beings are imperfect. The sun says, "Ain nistar." It always gets it right. The heavens are always right. Human beings have nistarot. Right way to act isn't always clear. And what is, I can't always overcome my yitzhak. But that's what Shlomo's saying here. That's what Rosh Shapiro is saying, is that we have to have this attitude about being mitzvah. Beyond that, Shlomo's Musar message is to live life with a sense of commandment. It's not inherently true because I can violate it, but feel that I should try to say, okay, that the natural state is obeying the laws of Hashem, because the consequences are dire. That's what he says over here. Bozed rachavim, not doing it, mitzvah. That'll make sense. I'm trying to put all these pieces together. So we look at the mitzvah, and then we're going to see his turns to raising children. And he says, Yasir bincha ki yesh tikva. Discipline your son because there is hope. El hamito, al tisa nafshecha, and don't be a party to his death. Etel chema nase onesh, someone who has a lot of anger will be punished. Ki im tasil. And it'll need to be rescued over and over again. Don't get too angry when you're punishing your kids, okay? Shema Itza, listen to advice. Kabel Musar, accept discipline. Leman techem b'achitechas, you become wise in the end. So he starts with the idea of Yasir bin Chayesh Tikva, right? Discipline your children because there is hope. Don't give up on them, no matter how bad things are. You know, I keep teaching them. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. This. Al Tomar, no, don't say I'm just giving up. It's hopeless. When you see your kids are stubborn, Musar, and they're not accepting this, when they refuse to learn, there's no hope. I believe there's always hope. Musar Tamid, because when you constantly renew the Musar, the discipline. That's not talking about hurting them, they're just teaching. teach Achrona Musar to me tikva kostas. Musar will bring out hope, the toelet for to have some purpose. It will end up tiptak yashiv tashiv. Be aware that he'll come back. Your child will come back. And don't hamito altisan afshecha. Don't give him up to death. Is reference to the ben sarara mora. And ben sarara mora is the point where you give up hope. Right, Kiel ish ben sarara mora enosh me b'kol aviv b'kol imo. If there's a child who is rebellious, who doesn't listen to the parents, yisroto and the discipline leishmal him, he doesn't he refuse to listen. Tavsu vo aviv imo. And his parents will grab him, but CO2 will bring him out to the court. Remember, tell people, the members of the court, that our son is rebellious. Refused to listen. Zolel is like glutton and drunkard. And everyone will stone them, and he will die. And he will wipe, eliminate the evil from among you. And all everyone will hear and listen. That's the halacha, and we all know the Gemara. That never happened. There's never actually a point where you can say, my son is rebellious, there's no hope. Ben Sarera Morea, lo hayav, lo atid liyot. Never happened, never will be. Lo menechtav, so why is it here? Derosh a couple, so I can learn from it. The word from the concept that things will be a bad, but Shlomo says,
Danny, is this whole section about the children, et cetera, is this from the son-in-law's book from the rabbi, or is
no,
this
no, that ended here. So this, for now, we're going to this next psukim of Mishlei.
oh,
So the Rabbi Shapiro's son-in-law's book was his philosophy on mitzvah, on mitzvah, being commanded this, and of
okay.
seeing that as being part of creation.
Okay.
Okay, now we're going to the next part, which is the yisir, right? Of yisurim, the idea of discipline.
Okay.
Because he talks about, okay, don't give up on your children. And the ironic turnabout in the next pasuk is Shema Etzel Kabel Musar. It's about you. You need to accept Musar. Okay, that's the metaphor. Hashem is the Av here. Hashem is giving you yisurim, discipline. You need to learn from them. Right? And we have this image throughout Tanakh. We've seen it in Mishlei before, where he says, Ki et asher yahav Hashem yochiach, the one that God loves, he rebukes, uka'av et ben yotzeh. Like a father to a son. Or Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, you should know. God has disciplined you with the way a father disciplines a son. And like we say in the morning, Modeni Fanecha, Melcha Bekam, Hashem has great faith in us, waking us up. Hashem is not giving hope. The Yisurim are there, not giving up.
Is he saying the Yisurim are is God's way of giving us like what's he saying with the Yisurim? What are those?
That is part of that. That is the discipline. That's God teaching us.
That's discipline. Okay.
That is the discipline. You should look at the Yisurim as being Hashem disciplining us, right? As and David said, "Tehillim, Asher Ka." Happy is the one who gets this kind of yisurim, which I'm leaving as untranslated. Umi Torah Tchad Tzlamdenu, and who teaches us, Tchutchutamdenu teaches him from the Torah. And I'm trying to connect that to this idea of mitzvot before. And actually, I was chatting with Yochai.wiki. Okay, so Yochai.wiki is an AI that was put together by Zohar Atkins, who I've quoted many times before. It's specifically trained on Jewish sources. Basically, take ChatGPT and attach it to Sepharia. So it's a great source to kind of look for looking at sources and kind of throwing back ideas back and forth. So I have to give it credit. I pulled out a source I wasn't thinking, I would not have thought about. How do we think about Yisurim? And this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Toward the end of Yirmiyahu, Ephraim is playing. Ephraim, who has been exiled, Place to God, Shamo Shamati Ephraim Mitnoded. I hear Ephraim, the northern kingdom, wandering and crying. Yesartani Vosar. I have been disciplined. You have disciplined me, and I have been disciplined. Ke'egel Lolumad, like an untrained calf. Hashivani v'yashuva. Okay, bring me back and I will do tshuva. Okay, here we go. Now we're connected to the tshuva season. So we're connected now. Good. Ki atah Hashem Akaikas, you are my God. You are giving me Yisurim. So Malbim explains that. What's the deal with a Egel Lulumad? You're disciplined like an untrained calf. And this is the way Malbim understands this. Right, you have disciplined me. I have suffered, and but lo pa'alta mu'ma. I didn't do anything. Rak ibaser, I was tortured. I was disciplined. Needs arsi lo, but it didn't help. I didn't learn anything from it. Why? Because I am like an untrained. Hamluma. Because if I train my ox, and it's going to pull the plow, the charishah to plowing, kashita me'atelem, to go straight along the furrow, yakehu, so I give it a little tap, it's going to go back to the, it knows, okay, when I tap it on the back, it's got to go back onto the furrow if it's straying a little bit. That's part of the training, is understand what to do with the yisurim. Yakehu yeshuva. So if I hit it, it'll go back to the furrow. About egel she'enu mulumad, for a cow that's not trained at all, jakeu yudako, if I hit it, it's just going to run away. It's not going to make the connection. Okay, this is what has to happen. Od yoter is going to wander even further away. Kenya ade yisurim starti od yoter baderach. So same thing true. You give you Hashem, you've given me yisurim, and I didn't get what it was supposed to mean. I went straight further and further. So I'm asking for your help, Hashem, to bring us to start us going back on doing Shiva. Get me at least in the right direction so I can learn something. Because I know you're a God. So show me that. Show me your Hashkacha, your providence. That show me your providence, show me that you are God. Then I'll do tshuva from love and from understanding God. I need to have that understanding. Right? So that's what David said in the pasuk we quoted. Ashrei gever umi. Happy is the one who gets Yisurim but learns the Torah. You need the training of the Torah in order to understand what to do with Yisurim. And the Gemara says on this that we learn from the Torah what it means to have Yisurim. What am I supposed to do with that? And first, it says Halacha is I have a slave, which we shouldn't, but this Torah does allow for slavery. If I hit, I knock out. If I beat a slave and knock out the tooth and the eye, then they go free. And they're one limb. If they're damaged, and the slave will go free from them. That Yisurim troubles that come upon us that affect the whole body. Obviously, God would certainly keep his own law, and certainly these Yisurim will free us from whatever other bad things are going to happen. Behind Rabbi Yeshua ben Lakish, Demar Yeshua ben Lakish adds another aspect. Nimar Brit b'melach, v'nimar Brit b'yisurim. There's a gezeirah shavah. Similar word between salt and yisurim. Nimar Brit b'melach, that's the carbonate, used the word Brit, covenant. When it says, lo tashbit melach Brit me'al karbonecha, that you should never cease to put the salt of the Brit of the Covenant onto your karbanot. Nimra Brit Yisurim, as it says in Devarim, at the end of Tochacha, Ela Divrei HaBrit, the whole Tochacha is a Brit. So what does it do with salt? So that's like seasoning the meat. It brings out the flavor there. That the similar covenant, that just like the salt helps the meat. These Yisurim help erase our sins. And this was a quote from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says, what is that? What did those two metaphors mean? It's like the slave going free, or Yisurim like salt on meat. So why do we need these two different metaphors? So, that when we look at the law of the slave who's been beaten by their master, becomes free. So if the master does it. The only way you know that the person goes for free if the master does it. Someone else, random person, whacks an eved. They have to pay for the damage, like any other human being, but they don't go free from that. It doesn't have the same effect. In Cain, Bzenavinch, saying we could take that as the metaphor. God punishes us, something bad happens, and it's clearly from God. Masav, in order to do something, the lesson there, like, if I don't obey Hashem's will, the rains don't come, fine. I understand this from Hashem. The name of Vinchakash really, God did this, and I should learn from it. As in Cain, I don't know, say, Zot, as Bavade, Rakina, that certainly. It's a response to whatever sin just happened. But most Yisurim aren't so obvious. You can't say, well, God did this for a purpose. So that's the metaphor of this song. When you have this hint of Yisurim, achirim, and then your response is to blame the other person. It wasn't God who did this, it was you. Lozot, and the other person is clearly guilty. As in Cain, it slows in Ashav Shalot Adonai Zot. It's not like with the Eved, like the master did it. L'fiyapshat Hazeh Chas V'Shalom Lo Yom Rabbi Yisurim. Therefore, this is not a response to Yisurim. It's just someone else oppressed me, was mean to me. Chaim Gemara in a Parasha Melech Mateket Abaser. That's what the Melech is. Look at some Yisurim are like Saul. That seasons the meat. That doesn't matter who did it. In Balabait, whether it's the chef or Orech or the guest putting it on there afterwards, just being there makes the meat better. Therefore, if you don't get it, you don't see that Hashem sent Yisrael. Still, something happens, realize. It's there as Yisurim, as discipline, as teaching. Avakim, umashim, and the person there doesn't realize God did it, and he blames the world. It's certainly your avonot are being responded to. That's what it means to say you should know in your heart but know that this is like the way a person disciplines their child. But sometimes they don't do it directly. They may ask the teacher, may someone else to do it. But even if it's happening indirectly, it's still from Hashem. Look at Yisroel that way. And so when the pasuk said, happy is the one that who gets Yisurim, who Hashem gives Yisurim to, and learns from the Torah that you need to get that Torah. Even Tilmad Torah, if you learn the Torah and realize this all comes from Hashem, then you'll be able to understand why these are happening. Look at that. The consequences are there because you didn't follow these rules here. Because if you don't have that sort of background, and another mashal, a metaphor is like throwing a rock at a dog. The dog tries to bite the rock, not realizing where it's coming from. And then bringing this all back together and conclude with Rav Kook. He says that the Surim here, again, this idea, this feeling of being in pain, that the negative consequences of not following this vote is basically the soul's natural response to feeling disconnected from all creation. Point of being of mitzvah, we said, is to have that sense of being part of all of nature, that we're all obeying the same laws of God. And the pain of Yisurim is that separation. Okay, Amachovim Agadolim. This is Oro Shuvah's Rav Kook, so it gets very poetic. So there's great pain that happens because we come closer to the idea of tshuva. We want to return to Hashem, the Hashem wants to get back to Hashem, and we're so far away. It hurts. Even though sometimes it's just a response to the, as part of the punishment. No, really, the idea of Yisurim is not a punishment, but it is part of the as part of the discipline. It's your own internal discipline. It's your own self saying, "No, I'm moving the wrong direction. I want to get close to Hashem." Neshama, that the soul is struck by the because sin harm hurts it. The bad things may happen, but the fact you feel that pain, that's your neshama trying to get back. That's Soloveitchik's idea of what tshuva is. Who negative called an achiyah, and this is against everything that is, well, everything that life's all about. Really serene, but smam him rakimota. So this pain, in fact, acts as part of the tshuva to bring it back. Kolchet madivatalev. Every sin causes pain to the heart, causes heart sickness. Because it denies the connection that every individual has to creation as a whole. And tshuva is what brings it back and heals it, brings everything back. And that's the idea of tshuva in Rav Kook's philosophy. It's not simply atoning for a specific sin, but bringing yourself back to being part of creation as a whole. At the end, that we're all obeying the Ratzon Hashem, the sky above, the earth, and us as well. Shlomo continues. He includes this with the idea of Shema Eitzav HaKabel Musar. You need to listen, you need to learn, understand, and accept the Yisurim. Do the tshuva, and then laman tachkem b'achritachad, and wise in the end. That sounds like a good place to stop. Continue on next week.
He brought us back to Rosh Hashanah.
There you go. It worked pretty well.